I would think it might be a good idea, if this is still the game plan, to get him out of here in good style, in a place where he's going to be away from Jack Anderson and some of these friends that have gotten to him. There's one particular chief petty officer who he served with, who has loaned him $1,000 in the past, and seems to have a pretty good hold on this fellow. He's the one that's telling him not to worry, because he's got the upper hand with all the information he has about the Joint Chiefs of Staff participating in this. So, I think that's what ought to be done with it. My recommendation, I guess John was talking about this one. It is. I would just like to get a hold of this Anderson. Hang him.
God damn it, yes. Well, listen. The day after the election, win or lose, we got to do something with the son of a bitch, don't you?
I would.
I mean it. Sure. Statute of limitations won't have run, will it?
Won't have run at all.
He's guilty as hell, isn't he?
No question about it. As much as admitting the possession and publication.
You really feel it would bust the Joint Chiefs too badly?
I do, yes. There's one other factor I guess you're aware of, and that is that the Times has got an investigative reporting team at work on where Anderson got this stuff. That's one of the better reasons for getting this yeoman out of town, so that they don't get onto him.
Well, wouldn't they find him out of town with Anderson? No, Anderson won't be able to source.
I don't believe so.
Well, anyway, out of town, Anderson's likely to write a story to the effect that we send him out of town. Isn't that the problem, John?
I don't believe so. I don't believe that Anderson will disclose his source. You see, what has happened from the ministerial point of view is that the office that he was working in has been closed. And so he's just reassigned to another duty. I don't know how Anderson could get at this without disclosing that he's his source.
Well, he thinks he has the upper hand. What the hell is he talking about?
Well, what he's talking about is busting loose the two admirals who were sitting over there with him, taking this material out of channels, taking the material that didn't belong in the communication channels of the Joint Chiefs and said, turning it over to them.
Just as articulate. And really a hell of a problem.
I would agree with it.
And tough. Mm-hmm. He's a tough guy. I mean, he looks, you know, he looks sort of like a smiley type, but there's a lot more to that man than I realized. I'm not insulting about it. You agree?
Yes, sir. From everything I know about him, I don't know him too well.
We've got a real property man, just put that in the back of your mind.
Yeah. A lot of pawns to move around.
Well, the thing to do is for us all to watch for the men that really have the good ones.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you look around for people, you're in a position to find them.
And well, you see them under combat conditions, which makes a hell of a lot of difference in some reputation they've brought from some other place. That's what makes the difference. Just an aside on this Connally business. There has been quite a campaign, it might have been calling your attention, to really put a shiv in John Connally.
But then I saw, not on the ship, but I saw that goddamn Shore said they didn't have a big bite in the White House, they didn't like the Azores or anything. That is pure bullshit. That part of it, I know.
Well, it's all pure bullshit, but they've been...
Who's behind the campaign?
Preston Smith, and he's using Roy Cohen in New York. I talked to John about it again today. What I did was have the law firm get out of that lawsuit down in Mexico so that there's no handle upon which these people can start these
things.
So
that, well, now wait a minute. When you say we're maybe talking about another thing, is Preston Smith is buying this business that Connally is.
No, I was talking about the...
Getting on other things.
That's right. They've been the Gallagher's letter in New York, and there's been dope stories, you know, in some of the columns that we were out to get Connally, and it was being done through the law firm.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, I saw that.
But this, there's no...
Incidentally, I thought that when I was in California, Bill, I forgot I wanted to mention one thing to you. Is Manolo gone?
Yes, he has.
Oh, he went already left the airport. Okay, fine. I was going to say that Flanagan or I guess you or somebody has reported that Fred Eaton now wants will take the job. Well, I just wanted you to know that my view is, for reasons that have nothing to do with the conflict, that he is, I agree with you, you know what I mean. On the other hand, I think that it's got to be handled very discreetly, and I would hope that you would, for the effect that you've made the check, and that we figure it's just going to be a hell of a fight, and we think we better not do it. Now, do you think we can do it? Because I can easily see, maybe you don't. I can easily see that he just would be just the man for the job, the age and everything else. Yeah. He checked it out. And I don't know what happened. Is that he decided that all of a sudden he's convinced he wants to take it. Maybe he went on the mountaintop. That would be a great idea. But my God. It isn't really quite that devious, because there would be a hell of a fight. I mean, yeah, and we just think that it would be, we just decided the fight's going to be too rough and that we need somebody there now and so forth. Yeah. That's right. And also that there are very important things going on right now, and that we need them right now. And absolutely. You could say that immediately afterwards that I think that we have no problem at all, and that I think that I might do that also, because after that we would hope to have a mandate, but that. I just like a little feel, I don't know, I think Pete ought to check out with a few tough Illinois types to see how tough he really is. And there was one other that did Pete mention you, I mentioned another name. Tool. Forget it. Well, Ingersoll, I tell you, take a look at Ingersoll. Can you do that? Because we could consider him something else. He is a very good friend of mine. He's a hell of a haul. Now, another one of ours would be great is Galvin. The difficulty is that I think that John Mitchell's sitting right here. I think we want to keep him in Illinois. John, isn't that correct?
Yes.
How about that? Let me ask John, do you know Ingersoll?
Yep.
Could he do Japan?
I think so.
John thinks that Ingersoll can do Japan. Now, let me just put it this way. You get a hold of Pete and then say, bring him in, and you look him over. If you think he can do it, let's go with him. Fair enough. Because let me see what kind of a company does he have.
Fourth.
Does that pose any problem? No, the ambassadors know. Good company though. Yeah. All right. Well, that'd be fine. Fine. Thank you. But promise him something afterwards. Tell him that I would very much like for him to consider a coach afterwards. You know, he'd be good for Naylor, you know, or something like that. Or something else. Fine. So I think that you could do it. He didn't press me very well on that.
Did you see him?
Well, he's sport-based, and frankly, I think it's in his best days. It's just between us. Those are my reasons. And Bill agreed, which is Bill, I never really didn't know who the hell he was.
Yeah, well, Freddie's pretty well on in years.
But he's 66 years of age, and he looks 76.
Yeah.
He's got to make the deal with Reagan and get off and just do it. That's all we got. We got
was all set to hold a press conference today to blast the hell out of the administration until I bumped into him at that kickoff luncheon out there and got him off the wicket.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, on the welfare.
On the welfare. Oh, yeah. No, not political.
All the welfare. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got that.
This is his hang-up.
Now,
this
got to get rid of the subject. Okay. Done.
All right. But, there may be some plaque come back out of Richmond.
It's got to be done because just say that, Elliot, this thing has reached a crisis, and I hate to do it, but Jesus, just do it and do it as low-key as possible and get it done. That's all there is to it. Duck prerogatives and all the rest of it. Boy, we've also got an election to win.
Well, he should understand that, but he's getting pushed by Reagan so that he's got his dander up in it.
Well, Reagan, of course, is a mean bastard on this, too. He's mean and also
selfish.
Huh?
Selfish, just like he was in the OEO legal services.
Here he is. He's mean and selfish, single-minded, and frankly, you talk to him, he doesn't give one goddamn thing. He isn't any. Bad.
And you want to talk about the way I feel about it.
And boy, there'll be a time when you won't have to deal with it. I hope.
I would hope that that
now, would. Now, really, I mean that. I don't think he's. You got to say Barack Obama. He fights like a son of a bitch. But Barack Obama eventually makes a deal, doesn't he?
He's reasonable. I've been helping him in the last 2 days put one together, and I think we have. Getting the conservatives to support Nelson Rockefeller's tax package, and if you don't think that's been quite enough, I think it's maybe put together. But it's good because we've got the conservatives working with Nelson Rockefeller, and this will do a lot to heal that party up there.
Well, we can't let the conservatives put Ashbrook on the ticket in New York. Well, that can be avoided, can't it, John?
Oh, yes. I don't see that at all. I don't see that at all. There's not the desire, and I don't think that the party structure as such will hold still for it. I've already talked to Dan Mahoney about this 2 or 3 times, and as they point out, read our closely what we said. We're just suspending support. We're not part of this. This is Russia and so forth. So
yeah.
I would feel that would be the case. In New Hampshire, we still have a problem with this date.
I'd talk to Johnson. I think we talked. The thought was to move it up earlier. Be an earlier date. Mike, I'll get it over with. Mike the 5th? Oh, wait a minute. Hell no, we can't move it the 5th. It must be the 4th.
Yeah.
No. Alright. What about the 7th then? Even though you have Sada. That the other thing we talked about was the 7th at the afternoon briefing. Afternoon briefing, the 7th. Let's see, that's too late for you in New Hampshire, though.
At the afternoon briefing, you laid out on the coast.
Yeah. But he could just go ahead and do it in New Hampshire, and then Ron could confirm at the afternoon briefing.
Because you're not worried about
it. Let's just do it. We just send the letter back. And Ron says, yeah, he did. And then Ron just confirms it. Just do it as low key as that. And then I no damn announcement at all. So I'm not going to say anything. And Ron didn't say, yes, I have to file two letters. Well, what about other primaries? Yes, he will enter the other primaries. I think you better get a little talking paper for him. What about Kenny?
Yes.
All the way. Yeah. And God damn, Preston Singh's a crook.
And he's got some of the worst possible crooked investigators trying to dig up the stories and sell them. Well, they even sent one of them out to see the Los Angeles Times, but apparently they didn't print any of it.
Troy Cohn, that son of a bitch.
Well, he's the one that's putting it out all over the dope sheets.
They play the politics sometimes.
They sure and hell do, and Preston Smith, I'm sure, feels that if he can destroy John Connally, he can destroy Barnes. That's the gambit.
Oh, God.
But John, who was out playing golf in El Dorado, didn't seem to be worried about it at all today.
How did he sound to you today?
I never got it.
He just said, oh, hell, let them dig. They can go all over any place. And he said, I've got nothing to hide sort of approach to it. I hope that's so.
Well, anyway, if anything comes out, he'll embrace the truth. That's what we ought to do.
Well, the fact that the law firm has dropped that litigation down there removes the real base for tying in the Attorney General and the President and so forth to go around the back door trying to snipe Connally. And so they'll have to be doing it on their own now without a guise.
Apparently, Isabella is going to be there, as I understand now. In California?
Yes.
Say. Well, goddamn, they set it up there today. I mean, everybody's there because Tanaka's going to be there. And he's the trade representative. No, sir. Sands is there because Tanaka's there. Well, Sands isn't supposed to be there. Well, Henry said, you know, Henry doesn't know his ass first base about the trade negotiation. He said, the guy that's negotiating the trade is not Sands, who, you know, basically he's a wonderful man, but cannot negotiate on trade. You know, he screwed it up twice. They won't ever leave. Is the one that they're negotiating with on the trade, Bob. So he's got to be here to negotiate. But you said that we can't have him today. So I don't know.
Maybe we'll never be able to knock Sands up. They've already told him he's in.
Oh, well, we can't hurt Sands. He wants us to
have everybody sit in too, but have Sands at the dinner.
Sands doesn't come to the dinner, but I don't know where in the hell you're going to put...
Because Tanaka comes to the dinner.
God,
Henry went back and forth on it and came up with Sands as the guy that should be there, not Everly. Tanaka is a cabinet minister.
Well, of course. Well, Everly isn't going to be at the dinner, so you're going to have to Tanaka there. And then you got to find a place for Kennedy there, too. You cannot have him not there at the dinner again.
I think maybe we can. That's what we got to try.
It'd be pretty hard. Can hurry for Christ's sake. It would be hurting.
Well, let's...
Anyway, we can skip... go ahead.
Skip the dinner.
No. Skip it. One of them. It's two of them. Go ahead.
Well, that's solid on the 7th and on New Hampshire.
All right, Ron.
Right?
7th's fine with me. Gets it done.
In Ohio, we're having a little trouble with Mr. Taft, but I think that he is the only one that's bitching up the situation, and the rest of them are all pulled together. He is...
favorite son?
Well, I've got him off that kick, but they have what is known as a second choice in the Ohio ballot, and he wants to get his name on that. And I'm opting for the national committee woman out there, which I think would be great. Get a woman on there instead of
a politician.
Yeah, instead of that, and then of course it eliminates the Agnew problem, where you don't have Taft in a direct conflict with Agnew.
Oh, I see. Second choice might be that Agnew was that he was a competitor of Agnew.
Yeah,
which
he would be. But I think that is working out, will work out all right, because Taft is trying to push it alone, and I think the forces will take care of it. He's trying to screw up the delegation and everything else, but
God,
Well, he's got a lot of ambitious young punks around him that are giving him all these bright ideas. In Indiana, I think the deal is made where Mr. Schneider is coming out if we can find him a job, and I will get at Malik in connection with that.
Job? Is he a lawyer?
No, I don't believe he is. But
he's a pretty capable fellow.
I think John Schneider would be a pretty good bureaucrat if you put him someplace. After all, he was state treasurer for years.
Right. Pretty good fellow.
We can work it out.
Should have probably been a better candidate than the other folks who turned out. He would be Deputy Secretary of Defense. We don't have one of those, right? No. I'm not serious, John. But we need the Deputy Secretary of Defense. Undersecretary of Defense.
What's the name of this fellow that the conservatives have been pushing from Texas? Is it Clements?
Clements, Bill Clements.
Bill Clements. Somebody looked at him. He have all the usual problems.
Main problem is he has money.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody with money or not doesn't qualify for that job. Unless he wants to be well respected, has more money than Clements. Pretty hard to give up everything the last year.
For a year, yeah.
He might do it. That may be a possibility.
Yeah. Well, they're pushing steam. I don't know.
I think Siemens will again erode our conservative support.
He's one of the whiz kids.
Well, he was there long enough to be one of them.
Hell yes, he's part of that establishment, that intellectual bunch of egghead bastards.
He was massive one.
I know, but he's still that same kind. He said, yeah, I can imagine it. You've seen him around, haven't you?
Yeah, he's not.
Well, he's not one of our type of persons. That's why I want that job.
Well, last analysis, this conservative wing, you get down to defense and welfare. And the defense spot over there is quite important because somebody's going to find out that we haven't been expending money at the rate of our authorizations in the national security interest. And this is going to cause some problems.
So he came up with a wild parlay. I would like to put Barry Goldwater in there and make him secretary later next year.
Well, God knows you can't control Barry Goldwater.
Yeah. He'd scare the hell out of people. If he was, if it were John Power, I'd say yes. But you can't. Well, that's an administrative post, Goldwater.
Well, in addition to that, of course, they've got that legislation up there, which apparently is going to pass, where they split up that undersecretary's job.
And you have the problem, the go-away problem, that you have to get a special act to do it. And Trump can go away that time. What about George Bush?
He'd be damn good.
He'd
be damn good. Loyal. U.S. is a pain in the ass anyway. He likes it, does it well, but that doesn't think he'd want.
Huh?
I don't think he'd want the defense job, but I think he'd take it if you tell him that. Well, you take it if you thought you were going to do something else later. So the U.N. job has a hell of a lot more. It isn't as important, but it has more prestige.
Flanagan by the president?
Is that you for that job? Fine, if you get it confirmed.
Do you think we could? Or do you Pete thinks he could?
Pete thinks he could. I don't know. I haven't taken a reading on it. Pete says that he's now dealing with all these people on the hill and they just love him to death and all this.
His problem up there was Tidings.
Tidings is gone. Pete sold his vessel.
Well, you'd be a goddamn good man. Total loyalist.
And he wants the job.
but we can lose him. Well, for that job, I could lose him.
Peter's argument is that hell, of all of my legislative programs have been put together.
But his new thing would be the Peterson job. Well, I hope that.
Well, that's going to be downgraded.
Sure.
Weren't you going to downgrade that?
Yeah. It depends. It's a fairly good job, or either that. You ought to have Peterson continue to be editor over his commerce. Wish we hadn't promised him commerce. I'd give it to Helen Bentley and get a woman in the cabin. Hey, you wrote me a letter, you know, on that. It says, for Bentley. I told her you turned it down.
That's what she wants to see me about, huh? She is a toughie. Did you ever hear that woman swear?
Oh, they didn't tell me. This is one pistol. Yeah. She makes the captain be liable.
No question about it. No question about it.
Is it better to keep Marcus in the top 10 of the most admired woman?
What's this?
You didn't know that?
You didn't see that?
Martha has moved into the... They get his list that Miguel was up, the 10 most admired women in the country. Martha's now number 8 country in the world. In the world.
When did this come out?
A couple of days ago.
It didn't come out.
Yeah, it came out Friday.
It's been printed in magazines this week. So it is.
Oh, is it? Not interesting.
Yeah. Go home and tell her that I mentioned.
She replaced that with Kennedy. Apple dropped off the list.
That will make her doubly happy.
Doubly difficult. That's right. Well, anyway, Shirley Chisholm's number 10.
I'm glad she's ahead of Shirley Chisholm, because last year when they took all the pictures to put her on the front page of Life or Time or some such thing, and then Angela Davis bumped her, I thought you were going to tear the magazine apart. Well, I wonder if you're serious about Peter Flanagan, but that shouldn't be checked out.
Why don't we check it out?
The confirmation aspect of it.
Check it with Laird. Senate.
I think Peter can handle that job, and I think he'd be a good guy over there for this crunch year to look after the store and look after the secretary.
Look after the secretary, and also he'd be one hell of a good guy at Henry's Wasser meetings, you know, where Henry has all manipulates, and Henry needs somebody to watch him. He really does. He'll stand up for him, and Pete would, wouldn't he? But what if he didn't stand up to Henry in the Western game? Spatter all over the wall. He ends the meeting, but he stands up for him. Because he ends the meeting, yeah. But Henry, Pete would be good with it, dealing with him outside.
I would think that aspect of it would be good, because it'll...
Pete would be good, just try. Yeah, I prefer he will. But I just don't feel we want a hell of a confirmation. A little one I don't mind, not at all. I would think the Deputy Secretary of Defense would be good. We might have to fight for some of those bastards this one. But I'm very
can't tell what they might find that they'd like to take him on. I don't think this tidings tanker thing is going to be a
great problem. It's fraud anyway.
And
just saying, John, we really missed a bet on everything. We got him that stinking trade job, although it's important he did really well, but he's a first class property. Malik is a genius at finding people. Got to take that damn job, and Alex done a hell of a job.
Yeah.
Getting good people. Well, Everly's out of his mind to take that same job. It's a lousy job. He's taking it. He's doing it. He's just terrific. He's going to move in into the Peterson job. Yes, he's that good. Perfect. He would be perfect for it, and then leave him, and then I'd have him still continue to be good. Well, that's one thing we argued about, but it ought to be. testify, but he can play where he wants. He can testify to Sherry Durham and not testify to the assistant.
Oh, well, anyway, the special trade representative, he can sort of supervise it, have some other jackass. That's Tara. Let's go. I mean, my name is Mago John.
Well, it's that's not thought of, am I?
And then go to McGregor right away and say, now really try to stop this. He's the man I want. I don't believe you ought to take it up with him at this point. Don't you agree?
How does Flanagan and Kissinger get along over here?
It depends. I don't think they've ever had any problems. They don't really deal with each other.
I think he'd be for it.
And then for Peter for other things, like he was for him for the same job.
No mistake. State Department guy.
Remember we talked about Peter?
Well, he's the man he can trust, and Henry figures that he can handle.
He knows he can trust Peter and would figure he can handle it.
Right.
Okay.
Done. Sure, he's right. He's not right.
He's not
planning as a
problem. He's not right about Kissinger being able to handle
the reason we need planning in there is that he's abrasive and tough, and that's the kind of a man Henry needs around him now, man. You know, he really does. He needs somebody that just won't roll over and play dead.
I'd like to take a couple of minutes on this unhappy subject of Dr. Kissinger. I had breakfast with him this morning. And this was approached on a political basis.
Yeah.
This is the new approach.
This is on now, the project again?
The Kissinger-Rogers business.
Kissinger-Rogers, yeah.
State Department.
Yeah.
In the past, Mr. President, I haven't been really as concerned about it as I really am now.
Incidentally, when Jerry Smith came in, Russia because he owes money to the state due to summons.
Well, I think maybe we have to let him go. real hang-up is concern about what happened. His realization, I think, more than anything else, of what happened, that he blew it coming back from the universe, or going back to the press, and making some stupid statement, which he should have made, since he was trying to justify it. And I understand this. And then, of course, finding that every time he could have been embraced by anybody, any time, place. He was on the wall of this large city. Henry was not, I believe, one bit concerned about the owner. I don't know. His only concern was in relationship to the fact that that affected the city. And then, when the last man, the Anderson Collins, came out, so we know that's where they came from. He told me they were religious. No, what state is doing, that what the writers are now doing, and taking stuff from state and building it on the Anderson's millions.
That's his line. It isn't true, however.
No.
Dave Young checked out, but even today Anderson's got one. It's still out of the same cycle.
Exactly.
Oh. Henry says that they're building on the old spot.
Same document.
Having said all that, I mean, I realize the progress are all right, but there are two sides to it. You know how I feel about the Rogers and the East and East Lake. And they both are active in the community on that way. But not talk too much. But so to say,
he's got an immediate problem on it now. Just that thing. The New York Times has got a task force doing this, one of their big super reports, you know, on how the South Asian thing comes out of the way that we have. What is the true story? Because there's these conflicting stories. Henry wants to tell it. So they approached Bill Rogers and said they wanted to interview him and key people at the State Department to give him information. And Bill Rogers said, no, and where are these people at the State Department? No, he said, we will not cooperate with the New York Times on such a story.
Right.
So then Henry said, yes, he will.
No, he's not going to talk about
it. He is going to. Then John called me, as I mentioned to you, and said he didn't want Henry to talk to the New York Times because the Times is also trying to do a story on how did Jack Anderson get the information for his comics. And John wrote that doesn't want Henry to talk to the Times about the subject of Jack. And Henry said to me on that, I won't talk to them about that, but I will talk to them on South Asia. And I said, you can't separate it. The Jack Anderson stuff is South Asia. But I want to get into the
whole purpose of the whole purpose of Henry's talking to the Times in South Asia.
We have to realize, John, is self-justification.
Right.
Do you agree or not?
Everyone.
And plus everything that comes out in South Asia from now on, but the subject is dead. Nobody can get us there. That son of a bitch last night didn't ask one question about it.
Right.
Why? The people don't give a damn about us.
But Bob, it is self-justification for Henry because he was to get back at what the State Department
right.
leaked out to Martin Kalb and the rest of them.
That's right. So Bill came in to see me this morning and said, I'm concerned about this, and he said, I don't know what I should do. I've now found, after I've issued orders that we're not talking to the New York Times, I found that Henry's going to talk to them. He said, I can't keep our people locked up if Kitchener's going to go off and talk to them, so we're back at that meeting. But that, you got to get to what Henry's choice. What's his proposal or anything?
Well, his proposals are, as I just mentioned, that are you talking about the interstate so far?
No, why he won't do it, yeah.
Well, he, of course, wants to defend himself, but in the protection of your foreign policy, he feels that you have to have two things. Number one, that they not go ahead and screw up the Middle East any further, and that they not move without a clearance over here with you, and that the same with the Brennan and Moscow, that there be no communications that are not cleared through this particular office, so that those initiatives are not screwed up before you ever get there. That's his two basic factors. My question to Henry was, what the hell do you expect the President to do all about this? He said, going back to his interests of the national national interests and the political interests and all the rest of which he justifies his talking to me with that approach. But these are the things that you need to protect yourself against the State Department in your upcoming initiatives. Now,
I think he's right on that. There's no merit to the, for anybody dealing separately and without communication with any of those people. And that's what drives
particularly
it.
Not in the...
What do you mean dealing separately? Bill has his separate means with Whitney. He won't tell Henry beforehand that he's going to meet with him, and he won't tell Henry afterwards what he talked about. And Henry doesn't tell him, that's the other side. Okay. And that's, I think, you got it.
Well, except Henry does tell you. That's his argument.
Is that Henry tells you everything, and the project tells you everything. You know, I'm being Henry.
I'm inclined to agree with Henry that
Henry's right.
The State Department is perfectly capable of screwing up the Middle East so that you won't be able to work it out in Moscow, and then screwing up your approach.
I'm all with you on that, and I'm all with you. The doctor should tell me what the hell he has to talk to Green about. I must say that he doesn't talk to Green about any matters.
No, but Henry thinks he does. That's the Henry. That's where the paranoia comes in. The Green knows where the power is. See, Henry, he was convinced Roger should really be working on you over the weekend. I said, well, yes, I thought it was Steve Rogers. Isn't Steve in the top? He said, yes, he blew up on the plane. I found out Rogers changed his plane and blew up on the plane with him. I said, that's right. And the president spent 10 minutes with him with J. Edgar Hoover and a goddamn birthday cake. Now, how much evil do you think got done during that? He's just pathological. That part, he really is. And I saw Rogers. I saw Rogers at dinner with, J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover. And me, you were most of you. We saw a movie. We didn't talk about a goddamn thing. But he's convinced that Rogers hauls you up in the corner and gets all these things settled and all this stuff. But his point on that still is basically right. Now, his point is not basically right that would come in here and harass me every goddamn living day about this juvenile attitude of his. He asked me if he was seeing. He said, tell me frankly, has the president lost confidence in me? Because I'm convinced that he has. No, he hasn't, Henry, but the president does get, as anybody would, fed up with the constant threat that he gets. And Henry said, I know, that's a problem with me. He said, but that's my nature. And he said, it's a weakness that I have, and it's the way I deal with this. The fact that he comes in is so heavy, you know, bland.
You know, the worst thing that happened.
Oh, I mean, I know all this stuff. I knew that India, but let me tell you something. When he made that boo-boo on the plane, because I know them, and I know it better than anybody else, I have never mentioned it. Sir, he's talked to me about it at least 30 times, saying it was really the right thing to do. Goddamn, I know what's right, and I know that he knows it, and I, you know, he usually doesn't make boo-boos. The thing that thoroughly frustrates him that you do is, like on the Middle East, and on the East, on South Asia, he says that what you did was turn it over to Bill Rogers because you had Henry doing other things and all this, and they gave Bill something to do. So you turn that over to Bill, and Bill screws it up. And he says, when you turn something over,
I turned South Asia over to Bill Rogers?
That when you turn something over to Bill like that, that then Bill moves unilaterally and refuses to tell him. He has no objection to Bill having responsibility for an area or a project or something like that. Maybe we'll deal through Henry so that he knows what he's doing. And he's probably not.
He is rewriting history.
I think he is.
For Christ's sake, we get the whole thing here. And he knows God land.
Well, the crisis I had about 2 or 3 months ago.
What the hell did Bill do 3 months ago?
Last Henry Kissinger, the last summer, listen.
Henry Kissinger wrote the talking paper. He himself, when I met Mrs. Young, I would have got Mrs. Crassus and being pretty goddamn soft. He said, yeah, but we don't want to give her an excuse.
He wrote the goddamn paper. He admits he was wrong. I asked him, yeah, he says, we didn't act strong enough. I said, what did the president fail to do that you told him? He said, that wasn't the problem. He said, I did it myself.
You know, on the South Asia, he's dead wrong. Now, his other complaint is, and this is purely a personal one, is that he is highly insulted by the fact that you have made an effort to be nice to him.
what he's doing there is he doesn't take it seriously. He thinks this is a petty personal thing that can be handled by personal, you know, being nice to me and giving me a call and call, making sure things are right, giving me time off, and having Nelson Rockefeller call me and tell me everything's okay, and all that kind of thing. He said that makes it worse, not better, because that papers over the substance with
he wants to come in,
He has done that from time immemorial, but my concern is that he may be at a point, at the breaking point. If you lost Kissinger vis-a-vis the State Department, then again your hawks again. The hawks have followed Kissinger, and they look at the State Department as all the dove. Secondly, that's the problem. Secondly, I'm concerned that Kissinger may take out after Rogers or the State Department. Kissinger will admit that a lot of this is done down the balls, not Phil personally, but that Phil knows about it, to shut it off. We may get into an inter-scene warfare here.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of what Phil doesn't know about it. Phil is helping us to shut it off, but Phil knows how to shut it off. I know that I can turn any more than anything. Phil got all the leaks out of his shop.
Yeah, there are leaks out of his shop. And that's why,
Bob, don't you agree? I'm not sure what I see there, Bob. You do not agree that Henry didn't give a shit about the owner.
Yes, that's right.
He did not really. The day he came over, he was very disturbed and everything about it. All the rest of it. Not about the owner. That didn't bother him. And he was really rather sorry to hear it. Because it wasn't the State Department.
Well, he had a little different approach to it when I got after him this morning.
Let's see where that worked.
Pardon?
You still want to fire more?
I want to get rid of everybody because they've taken and violated their oaths and they're crooked and so forth and so on. I don't know what the answer is, Mr. President, except it seems to me that for the future you might give some consideration in connection with your Moscow trip to structuring the channel of the activities of the State Department. I think that might be in your own interest.
That's what Henry's for. You said that. What's he want to get Rogers to do? That's my point. He doesn't want to get Rogers to do anything. He wants Rogers to work with everybody. He doesn't want separate projects. He wants everybody involved and turning on the same thing. And then he doesn't want to tell Rogers what he's doing.
And of course he makes the argument that whether it's in the Middle East or anything else going to Moscow, that they could screw it up. It's quite possible they could.
Sure.
Because I've read the record from the Middle East, and the State Department just bawled lies in their memorandum and so forth. I've heard Dick Helms tapes and so forth, and they just, this Cisco is just capable of lying straight out. You get erroneous information in here. And so there is some justification.
I know.
That may well happen.
To cross-check. Somebody in that.
Well, we really have.
He said, what do you do? Let me make one suggestion. I think that one factor that's been missing in this all the way through has been direct candor with Bill Rogers. I don't think Henry's ever really been candid with him. And I don't think you have, because I think you tried to keep the thing, you know, from focusing into a confrontation. It's perfectly proper from your viewpoint. I suggest this morning. I'm not at all
in addition to that, Bob, there's a hell of a lot of things that the president can't do candidly.
Well, that's right. It is, yeah. He can't. But Bill, on the other hand, what Bill has been told in directly, he's got instructions that he knows are valid. To my knowledge, he has never violated, and he has never leaked anything, or told anybody in the department anything that he was told not to tell them. He's known some of the most sensitive notes ahead of time, and handled them well. Now, he is of power or strength, but if he can't be with us, at least he keeps his mouth shut. For instance, on Cambodia, I don't think you can fall for, as Henry does, for not standing up. But you can't fall under leaking or undercut, because I don't believe he did.
Well,
after a couple of days, he saw it was going to go all right, he got stood up.
And he'd been very good in the fall.
combination of people other than Henry and other than the president ought to sit down with Bill on a very, very tentative basis and say, there's been a lot of stuff in the past, maybe there have been some problems, there have been reasons for it, but let's try and sweep that out and we get too much at stake now to play this horseshit game anymore.
Yeah, I think it has to be tied.
So much for that. That's it. Bill,
probably wants to pick to say, well, even tell Bob that the State Department really screwed the whole thing up, and I finally had to get in and try to save it, and so forth and so on. About that is just not true. That's not true about it. It's just not the truth. There's ego's advantage. It's enormous. You describe both of them that thing, except the one difference. Henry's is all related to history. History book. Bill's is all related to tomorrow morning's evening.
Right.
Bill has no interest in the history book at all.
Not at all.
Couldn't care less. Doesn't even know there are any. That's right. Henry likes the headline tomorrow.
Yeah.
His burning obsession is
yeah.
with the history book.
Well, there's another point.
Henry is a whole lot more interested in the editorial page than he is in the front page.
That's right.
Bill is more interested in the front page than he is in the editorial page.
That's right.
You begin with that. That tells something about him. Another thing you can say about the two of them is that Henry takes the long view, perhaps too long, to the church of the times. And Bill takes a very, very short view. Bill takes the supervision. Henry is sometimes even boringly profound and drives you up the wall going through stuff that sometimes is interesting and sometimes not.
The other thing is Bill has complete self-control and is totally rational.
Oh, Henry has no self-control yeah. whatsoever and is almost 80% irrational
yeah.
when you get out front and talk to
Bill.
The only time I ever
yeah.
saw Bill lose his cool was when Scully was lecturing him out there.
Bill gets angry, he does so deliberately. Whereas Henry gets total lack of self-control and is ill-mannered, bad mannered, and all the rest of the God Almighty silly comedians. He is impossible in any kind of obedience. It's so everybody we talk about that. Coming back to the hunter, the major problem of John McGovern now is that we cannot continue to have a situation in looking at him for everything that he's worried about. We cannot continue to have a situation where he comes in and says, Rogers, do nothing. Blair, do nothing. This man, do nothing. And so forth. And he only had the
character of another. I agree.
We have got to give cabinet officers things to do. We've got to do it. And I got him off a few of those things. I mean, Christ, he was having me sign every goddamn thing there was. But I got him off a few of that. Very, very good. And try to concentrate on the important things. Another thing that we can do is to come and say and try to rewrite the history of the facts then. Getting into this whole deal of police and so forth, to frankly talk about the mode in his brother's eye and ignore the dean of his own. And that's frankly what he's doing. Henry is not, let me say this. If you have to choose between Rogers and Henry, you take Henry. Because Henry knows more. Basically, Henry, deep down, is more loyal. Rogers, in his way, is more loyal. Rogers lives in flower and flower.
And Henry adds more to you.
You and Henry go on each other.
This is impossible, because you'd have to work through Rogers with the State Department.
Yeah,
too.
I know.
Well, got here.
And I know that.
Sick
and all that sort of thing. I'm afraid if he wasn't called, he'd be
to him too, that directly. That was my first question.
Okay, Henry, let's figure out how we get budgets out here. That's obviously the only solution. So no, it's not a solution. You cannot get it out. And should
I would rather have Henry Kissinger rewriting history after the election than I would before the election.
Oh yeah.
And I think that.
And the danger is that he might decide to write it before the election. And of course, he's raised his jackass proposal, I assume you do with the Bob. Well, he'll stay on through the sort of sign. So he's going to resign. He's going to stop right now. He was going to announce now that he was going to leave next year. Well, he's totally irrational on that. But let me tell you this irrationality. I come back to one thing that you've got to remember very fundamentally. John, I know that on many issues, of course, it's not because you're Jewish, and second, they're wrong for two things. But the Jewish thing is a hell of a lot to do. A hell of a lot to do, despite what he says. The other point is...
I'm not convinced of that.
Well, let me say, as far as I'm concerned, I buy it for the other reason.
Because in our discussion in the Middle East, we agreed or discussed the scenario which would roll them after.
Could roll them after the election, I know. But I, let me put it this way. I had a discussion with him before the 70 election. He said, right after the 70 elections, he said, let's see, right after the 70 elections, I talked to him.
That wasn't a good policy.
But anyway, that's his view. What we didn't understand, the reason that I support the view is totally different. What I think is his relates to mine, but he is also deeply committed. Make no mistake about it. He basically deep down that for all Jewish refugees. And that affects
him. It must have.
It has to. The other thing is that because he meets a little more with the view than these people that you know, and promises him more than you think. Now the other thing is that with regard to the immediate problem here, Henry is wrong. On Indian Pakistan, what we have to realize is that the thing was bound to come out the way that it did. And Henry is concerned because he feels that what we did failed, and he knows that he's partly to blame. He blames himself too much because I think whatever we would have done would have failed. That's what I do. And of course, I go back to the point. I say, Henry, God damn it, don't look back. It's done. And forget it. It isn't always be an issue.
Well, it's going to be worried about the history.
It'll affect
speeding up on it.
He said, we have so many good things going, and we've done this and that, and now the State Department's good. But Bob, he is rewriting industry and history and imperfection. You know that, goddammit. They, what the hell, he had me over there at Kowalski, and I, that's when I told them all off. And I told them all off and said, all right, follow up when I send it. He said that, and he said, now we've got it. That's loose. 24 hours will all be done. We've scored the greatest coup. All that. No, that one we've got to look where we're talking around the problem. We are confronted here. The problem with Rogers is cycle, I think, along the line you suggest. But what I'm just simply saying is don't underestimate that that will solve the problem. No, they won't. Because Henry's problem is a deep emotional period. He is going to see the New York Times not because of his trying to get at Rogers, and not because he's there, but because he wants to justify Henry Kissinger. He isn't going to be shit about me on this stage. Not really.
That's right.
Not really. Henry Kissinger's role in this, and that's what he's trying to do.
That's the dangerous element that has grown at a fairly rapid rate through these crises. That's the part that worries me more about this one.
He's now reached the point where he's a little bit ahead of the president.
Yeah, that's important.
That's right.
And pretty easily, he totally overshadowed.
That's right. He believes that he knows everything, that he's guided everyone, and this and that.
Yeah.
And frankly, in terms of, I even had to talk to him in terms of the announcements of about the food controls and the rest of things. Rather categorical idea, I suppose, when people on the watch, because he thought of this and he thought of that.
that's where it comes to Henry Kissinger.
But that's the point. Here we got involved deeply, emotionally disturbed man because of a defeat. He cannot take and the defeat in any attack stand as one that he takes personally. He thinks that they're taking it out on him personally. And so therefore he's trying to justify it.
Well, now you're going to have both Rogers and Kissinger in San Clemente.
Yes.
Well, why don't you lay down the line that because of the Anderson story or anything else, neither Kissinger nor anybody in the State Department is going into this any further. Maybe if we get the India-Pakistan thing behind Henry, where he isn't shot at and he's not shooting at them, then we might be able to...
Henry cannot talk. When did he agree? I told nobody. I told him frankly where what became of my order that nobody was talking to the New York Times because of what they did in the Pentagon papers.
See, your order...
They're not. I also told Henry he's not to set up any interviews except we'll try through the well, then you shift it to me because he wouldn't do a job. What happened?
Well,
he won't go.
Well,
Bob goes ahead and does it anyway.
Bob, you've had the same conversation with Henry that I've had.
Sure.
And he justifies it on his rebuttal on the basis that state is doing it. This is the time to shut them both off on India and Pakistan.
Yeah.
And they'll be out there where they won't be so susceptible, hopefully.
And if anything leaks, we'll know who did it. John, are you coming to California or not coming? I think Bob's suggestion for you and me to have a talk with Rogers is good. However, John, I prefer to do it alone. I don't know. Yeah.
No,
I think the two of them know that it's good for me to be there. No,
I think it is.
No, because you know the inner workings of Henry Kissinger. It's got to be cold turkey and
let me find out.
I've been in the middle of a lot of these, as you know about how I've got to look for
it. But I know this is a new format. You know, every other time I've been talking to Rogers, I've been beaten up on it. This is a negotiating session to get the thing structured.
I see where we go.
I think it's a
now
new format.
The question is, who the hell is going to talk to Henry Kissinger the same too?
So,
I should. In my view, what Henry wants to see, and that's what he's objected to Bob, what Henry wants is to come in here, to sit down, and take 3 hours of my time to tell me what a son of a bitch Rogers is in the State Department. That's what he's objecting to, isn't it? I think John, I've got a broker that same to me, I've got a broker of both ways.
Yeah. And Henry's case, Mr. President, now that... Well, in addition to that, my friend Elson Rockefeller should know he's in the picture, and we may get... He's going to be down here this week. He wants to come in to see me about it. So I can get Nelson turned around the other
way.
Yeah, he understands that. I think we might get some help.
He probably has a few problems. I'm sure he's a little...
Negotiation. The general speaking, Henry was so goddamn discouraged.
guess we better go to California.
You hold the line on the crossfire out there.
Oh, and so I'm going to pick it up when we bow, and then when you get back. You couldn't come out there to talk to him.
Thank you.